I'm looking forward to just sharing with you. So it's always a privilege to come up here to the mountains, to enjoy the warmth of friendship and fellowship, and sometimes the cold outside. Okay, let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come here and to worship you. Father, we do thank you for our risen Saviour. We thank you that in him we have found new life, that we have been purchased with that precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and we have been redeemed. And so, Father, tonight we pray as we look into your word, that as the two on the road to Emmaus, as they saw that Jesus had parted from them, and they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Father, may it be that our hearts would burn within us with a desire to spend time in your word and to draw closer to our Saviour. So, Father, we pray these things in and through Jesus' name. Amen. The portion of scripture tonight that I want to share, I believe, is probably a very critical portion. And I haven't realized that till recently. Now, you may have all done that, and I can sit down. But if you haven't, and you're a little like me, I think I've preached on this passage before in days gone by. But it struck me recently that this passage will help us to understand how we should read Scripture. You ever thought about that? It helps us because Jesus says, if you don't get this, then you won't know how to read the Scriptures about me. And that's what this is really all about. It's all about Jesus. And so this is what I want to share. And this for me of late was very eventful because it suddenly changed when how I looked at and how I read the Old Testament. I always look for Jesus in the New Testament, but I look for Jesus in every portion of the Old Testament. In every page I read and I ask myself, what's it saying about Jesus here? And the Old Testament is all about the foretelling of the Redeemer, our Rescuer, that would come. And it looks to his coming and it foretells that. When we get into the New Testament, our Redeemer is with us. Our Rescuer is with us. I think when we look at Scripture, that what I see, I talk to lots of folk. I talk to folk in the street and behind desk and in Woolworths and all sorts of places. But when I talk to folk in church down at Emmanuel Baptist, I find that there are folk that do struggle with Scripture and struggle in coming to understand it. And some people struggle just to read it at all. And I think that we can use some great plans. I know that part of my thing is that I have an iPad here behind me. I use that iPad quite a lot. And every morning when I get up, I put in today's date and my reading. And then I have a little journal that I don't go to every day, by the way. I'm not going to say I do that religiously. I don't. But I do go to it and I put my thoughts down. And so I have this time each day with the Lord. But we may need a plan that will help us to read through Scripture. Sometimes we can read plans that have been written by men and we hardly touch the Bible at all. And I think it's good if you're going to do that, by all means, read what someone else has prepared, but take time to spend time in the Word and let the Holy Spirit open the Word to you, as it says in 1 John 2:27. And so sometimes we have people that will come along and say, you know what? It's a new year. No, I know we're in April, so I got that. But January 1, I've decided I'm going to read the Bible from cover to cover. And so what ends up happening, people will start reading it. And we'll go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And we start reading it and we think, oh, really? Deuteronomy. And so suddenly the plan for some people, not all, flies out the window. You know why? Because they miss Jesus in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. He's there. And, you know, I I recently, I've got to be careful of the time. I'm very aware of time. I'm very aware that I think I would have struggled to be a Jew and live in those days because, wow, you had to sacrifice morning and night, or the priest did, and all the things that you could do that went wrong. You had to be outside the camp and had to wait till you were cleansed and come back into the camp. And, oh, I'm so pleased I live now rather than back then. So I think we sometimes would go back to some of the safe books if we've missed Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and we might start reading Proverbs again because we feel comfortable there. And we might read Psalms, because Psalms is great. You should read Spurgeon's commentary on Psalms and read through that. Fantastic. But I want to suggest tonight that we read the scripture with fresh eyes. I'm not going to dwell on this for long, but I've been sick for quite a while since about Christmas, and I've done lots of reading, and I read some things by Ian Bounds. And one of the things I'm conscious of is I do not spend enough time in prayer. I believe we don't spend enough time doing anything to serve God. We do a little, not as much as we should. And I believe that when we look at Scripture, it would be great to be able to pick it up and look at the promises of God through fresh eyes and say, wow, look at that. And look at his commands and look at his promises through fresh eyes. But tonight I want us to look with fresh eyes at when you next read scripture as well. And we see that Jesus is the hero of the Bible, not you. Jesus is the hero of the Bible. I think sometimes we can read the Bible as a self-help manual, and we can pick it up. And you've all heard the same thing. I know people come up to me and say, you know what, it's incredible. I can just open the Bible and put my finger there on a verse and God speaks to me. And I say, well, amen. You know, but they could also put their finger on the verse that says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. And then they open it again and it says, and go thou and do likewise. You don't read the Bible that way. But some people do. They see the Bible as a self-help manual. Or they see it as a to-do list that they can go and have a look at on occasions. But it's got to be that we're looking to draw closer to Jesus in the scriptures as we read it. I think as we read the Old Testament too, that we can look at people who were heroes, but there's no heroes in the Bible apart from Jesus. You can look at them all. Abraham, you know, he conned people and said, my wife is my sister. Actually, I found that they were actually related, and in fact she was, but it was his wife, and so there's no heroes. Jesus is the only hero. I want to read to you from a book I have on my iPad in my Kindle app. Do you all have Kindle apps? Fantastic things. Okay, in my Kindle app. And it's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's a little kid's Bible. Okay, but it's really good. You know why? Because it looks for Jesus right through the Old Testament. It looks for him. And it says this, this was written by a lady by the name of Sally Lloyd Jones. And in the foreword she says, now some people think the Bible is a book of rules telling you what you should and shouldn't do. The Bible certainly does have some rules in it. They show you how life works best. But the Bible isn't mainly about you and what you should be doing. It's about God and what God has done what he has done. Other people think that the Bible is a book of heroes, showing you people you should copy. The Bible does have some heroes in it, but as you'll soon find out, most of the people in the Bible aren't heroes at all. They make some big mistakes, sometimes on purpose. They get afraid and run away, and at times they downright mean. No, the Bible isn't a book of rules or a book of heroes. There are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story. The story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. Now that's written for mums and dads reading to children. And so I want us now to start looking at the hero of the Bible on the road to Emmaus as he meets with the two disciples. I have read Luke 24 so many times of late, and then finally some other things struck me. Fortunately, I'm very slow on the uptake, and I ask God to help me to take things in and to learn. So Jesus appears to the two disciples walking to Emmaus. Now, you know what? They don't know where Emmaus is. It's about seven, I don't mean the disciples, but today if you try and find it, I believe they're not sure where Emmaus is. It wasn't a walled village or a big village. It was just a little stopover place somewhere, about 15 and a half Ks from Jerusalem. And Jesus comes up next to the two disciples, and he joins into their conversation. They had no idea that it was Jesus, and it was God that kept them from recognizing him. And the thing that I also find pretty incredible is that Jesus decided he would walk with them for probably nearly 2 hours. Because if you go for a stroll for 15 and a half Ks, it's probably going to be a good 2 hours, or could even be a little more. I don't know when Jesus joined the conversation and how far into that they were, but he did join them and he started to walk with them. And if we allow Jesus to walk with us, he will do that. If we need daily for him to be a part of who we are, to look to him, to commit our way to him. And the moment we decide to do something in our own right, we're just taking our eyes off him and we're creating our own little gods. We need to be in touch with him. I believe that, you know, we live in a world that is incredibly busy. People, especially in the mountains, if you work in the city, okay, you can sit on a train or you drive, I don't know, but we're so busy. And my problem that I see, that as Christians, I think we struggle in a number of areas. I'm not going to major in this part, by the way. But I think we struggle in sharing our faith. I think we struggle in having a regular quiet time. I think we should have a quiet time 7 days a week. Even though you come to church, it doesn't matter. We should want to meet with our Savior on a daily basis. Best time, first thing in the morning. And the other thing we struggle in is prayer. I think we struggle. I'm not going to do show of hands, but how many people would pray an hour a day? That's pushing limits, isn't it? But you know what? We should spend far more time in prayer. We need to get to know the Lord. And I think today we are so busy that we don't have time for our Savior at times as well. The conversation with these two on the road to Emmaus, as I looked at it, I felt was not unlike the conversation that Jesus had, not drawing a longbow here, but with the woman at the well. Because when Jesus drew up next to them, he said, well, what's happening, guys? You know, like, and they started to talk. In the woman at the well, in that occasion, Jesus, what he did, he transitions from the natural. He just talked about, can you give me a drink of water? He transitioned to the spiritual. And he did exactly the same here. He did not do anything except start talking to them, because they didn't know who he was. I think it's possible for us to study God's word, to memorize scripture, but we can still miss the point of the Bible. We can still miss the point of the Old Testament, which is Jesus. Okay, we can miss that. Because Cleopas, who was one of these two disciples. Now, how do we know that these guys, how close were they to Jesus? And the thing that struck me is in verse 13. And it says there, and behold, two of them. And that suddenly hit me this week. Them. They were a part of the 120 that met together at Pentecost. These two were in that inner group. Without, again, drawing a longbow here, it's possible they were even husband and wife. You can check that out if you're good Bereans. Could be father and son, or it could be two brothers. But we do know they were two disciples. But they had been in the presence of Jesus. They had seen him minister. And they had now come from Jerusalem and had been with the disciples. These were people who were close to Jesus. But they had missed Jesus in the scriptures. What had happened was that if we read from verse 19, because Jesus said, what are we talking about? What's happened? And we start to see how Cleopas was a reader of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, but in reading the Torah, he missed Jesus. So in verse 19 it says, and he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But listen to this next part here. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. In all of the conversation from these two who had seen him do miracles, maybe raise the dead, had heard his teaching, there was not one mention of Jesus as the Son of God, not one mention of Jesus as the Messiah, or of the Son of Man who would raise again. And Jesus referred to himself so often as he taught the disciples as the Son of Man, that he would die and would be crucified and raise again on the third day. Now Jesus could have said to him, hey guys, hey, it's me. But he knew they didn't know him. But he could have done that and we wouldn't have had this conversation recorded for us. But he didn't do that. What happens next in verse 25 is not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture, even the grouping of the words that Jesus used. None of the other Gospels mention at all about this account on the road to Emmaus. Then he said to them, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus was not referring to them as fools as we would think. I believe it was far deeper than this. So what he was saying, I was thinking about, and I thought about the five foolish virgins, you know, that they were foolish because they did not prepare themselves. They did not fill their, take enough oil to fill their lamps. These two were foolish and slow of heart, meaning that they had no understanding of Jesus. They were looking for him only to be the Redeemer of Israel, to return Israel to its former glory. That's what they wanted. They weren't looking for Jesus. They were self-centered. They were looking only for what was going to suit themselves, I believe. And they missed Jesus as the Messiah and as a deliverer. Now, Jesus had clearly prepared the disciples for the fact that he was going to be crucified. He was going to be in the grave for 3 days and he would rise from the dead. And we can see that in Matthew 12:40. This is just one example. We could bring many examples out. But it says, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Jesus tells them then that they had missed him. So in verse 27 we see, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And here's the key for us. Jesus is in all the scriptures. He is in all the Old Testament. He is the hero of the Old Testament. And he is the one who we were looking to see come, and he's the one that has come, and he has redeemed us. And so Jesus, what a Bible study to have been at. On the road to Emmaus, wow, yeah, Jesus starts to unlock scripture, and he would have gone all the way back to Genesis and started to talk there in the garden. And he might have talked about Abel, how Abel's blood was spilt on the ground, and God, it cried out to God. But when Jesus' blood was spilt on the ground, his blood cried out, but it satisfied God as a sacrifice. And we could go on, we're not going to, and on through the various things and see Jesus in the Old Testament. And I'm hoping you might, as you start to read it now, start to look differently at it. So Jesus, beginning at Moses and the first five books of the Bible, and then the prophets, and later on when he appeared to the 11, which we're not going to look at, he also spoke about, and the Psalms, they all spoke of him. They all talked of him. And by this time, now how long that study went for, who knows? But by this time they had got to Emmaus. And Jesus led them to believe that he was going to go on further. But the two had a house there. And they said, hey, it's getting late. Why don't you stay with us? They compelled him to stay. And so Jesus came and they sat together at a table, as we are going to do in just a moment. And as they sat, they brought some food out. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And their eyes were opened and he disappeared from their presence. And as they looked at each other and said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke? And you know, in Jeremiah speaks about that he was going to be silent, but he couldn't keep silent. But the word was in him like a fire, you know, burning in his bones, and he couldn't keep silent. And so Jesus parts from them. My challenge to you is that as you read scripture and as you read the Old Testament, that you'd be faster on the uptake than me, and that you would look at it and look for the hero of the Bible being Jesus in all that you read in the Old Testament. As you look at Leviticus and Deuteronomy and you see that perfect lamb that was to be sacrificed in the morning and in the evening, and how they had to dissect it to see that it was perfect, because it was a picture of Jesus, a picture of our Saviour. Now, I'm going to actually pray and hand back to Wayne. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for just a brief look into your word. But Father, we thank you that our Saviour is the hero of the Bible. We thank you, Father God, for this account. And Lord, we pray as we read your word that our hearts might burn within us, that we might burn with desires to know you better, Father God, that we might spend more time in prayer, we might spend more time in your word, and that we would long to have that time that we spend with you. So, Father, may you challenge our hearts. May the Holy Spirit cause us to burn with desire just to be in your presence. And so, Father, we pray all these things now, in and through Jesus' name. Amen.